one's dark time going. I've heard that title used for this time by a few brethren. Mr. Durand even mentioned it in a sermon not too long ago. The time I'm referring to is this time between the Feast of Tabernacles and the Spring Holy Days. So I ask you again, how is your dark time going? Are you in need of a holy day to lift your spirits? If you're thinking, yes, I do, then you need to look no further. We're here today, together on a holy day. We're fortunate to be able to take part in a holy day experience each and every week. The Sabbath is a holy day. We're commanded, in fact. The word Sabbath, or Sabbaths, is mentioned 172 times in the King James Bible, so I'm thinking it's pretty important to God, as it should be for us. So, for any of you feeling the post-feast blues in need of a holy day pick-me-up, you're already here. So let's talk about the importance of the Sabbath and maybe a few things to make it a little bit more special. For those of you who like titles, I've titled this sermonette, The Sabbath, the Weekly Holy Day. Sometimes I think the days go by so fast during the week that we come rushing into the Sabbath like a freight train with no engineer and no brakes. We've all got so many things going on, jobs, family, bills, kids, taxes, the Boston Red Sox. Friday hits faster and more furious than any Vin Diesel movie. We might merely view the Sabbath as a time that we can cram as much as we possibly can in before the sun sets. Life is hard and relentless, and we generally do things in 6 days that most people get to do in seven. For a lot of those 7-day-a-week people, they don't get a necessary break that we are commanded to partake in. They're trapped in an endless cycle, like that train with no brakes. There's no rest like God took on the seventh day in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Right there. The Sabbath was made holy after he created pretty much everything. There it is. That's the first holy day. So what are we doing to make it holy? What are we doing to set it apart from the other days of the week? First off, are we even resting? Are we giving ourselves ample preparation to ease into our Fridays a little bit? Are we using the other days wisely to make Friday a little bit more easier so we're not running around with our hair on fire trying to get things done that we could have done earlier in the week? Mr. Martin years ago gave a sermonette about a day to prepare. He talked about using Thursday as a day to prepare for the Sabbath. I'm almost positive it was specifically about Thursday, so if Mr. Martin sees this, I apologize if it was about a different day other than just Thursday, but that's the way I remember it. I know things come up, and that's life, and there are those ox in a ditch situations, you know, so these days to prepare could be any day during the week, or it could be a number of days. So are we planning ahead for the Sabbath? We should be planning out some certain things. You know, pretty much, what are we eating? What are we wearing to church? Is there gas in the car to even get to church? Is my sermonette done? It usually is. There needs to be some things planned out ahead of time as best we can. Do I have all these things ready each week? Oh, no. I'm slowly getting better at it. We're working at it. So really think about a day to prepare, or days to prepare if needed. I'm probably more of a days to prepare than a day to prepare type of guy, but whatever works for you. As I was reading through the scriptures associated with the Sabbath, I noticed that more than before, that God uses these Sabbaths as markers during the year. They use as points in time. Sometimes it's like so many Sabbaths to a specific holy day. Like in Leviticus 23:16, it says, "Count off 50 days up to the day of the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord." This is the festival of weeks. Also, the year of Jubilee even uses the Sabbath as part of the equation. In Leviticus 25, verse 8, it says, count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times, 7 years, so that the amount of the period is 49 years. Maybe we should use Sabbaths to keep track of things or to set goals to get things done. Say, by next Sabbath, I want to get X done. Or 3 Sabbaths from now, I want to get this. Or 5 Sabbaths, or whatever it might be you're trying to accomplish. Use God's Sabbath as a reminder, because who's better at reminding us of things than God? Did you know that there's 21 more Sabbaths during this dark time, until Passover from right now? It seems like a long time, yeah? Think about how many goals we could accomplish in that time using Sabbaths as our guide. Just something to think about. Use it as a cutoff. So what are we going to do to make the Sabbath special? Hopefully it's looked at more than just, hey, cool man, no work for 24 hours. Coming from a Roman Catholic background, it was a little bit different for me. For me, Friday night, party time. Go out, have fun, do whatever, stay up late, don't worry about it. It's just the beginning of the weekend. Since being called, I see the value of the Sabbath. My wife and I have tried to make it more than just a night that we crash at the end of the week. We try to come up with special traditions. A special dinner is usually planned. We have candles that we light specifically for the Sabbath meal. There's a certain type of music we play to set the mood. There's usually no TV. We talk a lot, and we get to reconnect with each other and God. The next morning, we sleep in, sort of, if Kendrick allows us to, which is rare. Today, kind of did, 6:30. That was pretty good. We have coffee and a nice breakfast, since there's no time for that during the week. We then take Sabbath walks with the dog and Kendrick in the stroller. Our street's pretty good for walks. We're surrounded by all of God's creations, like the trees and the birds chirping, horses, and it's a nice area outside to walk around. Hopefully, by keeping this routine going when Kendrick is older, he'll actually look forward to the day of rest instead of not understanding why are we just sitting around, perhaps not doing much of anything. So far, so good. He appears to enjoy it. Another aspect of Sabbath being set aside is that just because we're resting, it doesn't mean that we can't be productive, though. We're handed an entire day with no work duties, chores, or household tasks. We can use the time for Bible study, research, watching Beyond Today videos, reading church literature, really trying to connect with God, because during the week, it can be difficult. The Beyond Today website has new content constantly being put up, so there's endless possibilities there. Or perhaps there's just something in Scripture that's just boggled your mind for a while. Here's a time to take a deep dive into whatever that might be and maybe find some answers. Maybe the time could be used to connect with brethren who you haven't seen in a while or unable to attend services for whatever reason. Reach out to them and just wish them a happy Sabbath. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. You could use it to reconnect with maybe some family that lives far away. Jessica's family is spread out from here to Minnesota, to Nevada, California, Texas, and Michigan. Use the time wisely and be productive. A day of rest can also be an opportunity to enhance your relationship with God by utilizing this time given that He has given us to increase our knowledge through studying His Word. Like it says in Mark 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. There's two things that I definitely need to work on, and Sabbath is a great time to work on this, is my Bible reading and my meditation. The praying part, I've done pretty good. I'm pretty good at praying. I pray every day. If I'm having a meal, I pray. But during the Sabbath, we have more time to pray and really focus on those in need. We can review the prayer list. We can take a little bit more time to even pray for ourselves. I've mentioned this before, that it's okay to pray for ourselves and ask for God for help. Meditation is always a struggle for me. Is it for you? More often than not, I just don't know what to do. Do I pray more? Do I just sit in silence? What do? Looking at Scripture, meditation is more of a state of mind or a state of being. We should take God's law and apply it into daily activities. If we're faced with a scenario at work or in life, we need to know a Christ-like way to approach it. In Psalm 119, verses 97 through 99, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." Also in Joshua 1, verse 8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Can meditation really make us successful? That's another sermonette for another day. So another reason to celebrate the Sabbath and keep it holy is simply because we're commanded to. God is telling us. He's not asking. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants shall rest as you do." The Sabbath is an essential part of God's plan, as are all the other holy days. Each week, we're given the opportunity to reset and realign ourselves in God's way. It's kind of like when you get back from the feast. and you're on your, or you're perhaps when you're on your way home, you're energized and you're inspired and you're going to make change and everything's going to be wonderful and it's going great. And all of a sudden, we're more focused on the kingdom, and then bam, we're slapped in the face with reality. Nothing hits harder than life. That's a Rocky reference, in case anyone was wondering, but I did think it fit well. How many of you were slapped by reality right after the feast? I was. Do you know how long I lasted? 1 day. After getting home on a Wednesday, I went to work on a Thursday, and there I was, sitting in New England traffic, thinking New England things, the way New Englanders think of things in traffic. It wasn't good. Thankfully, 2 days later, it was a Sabbath, so I got to reset, realign, and repent. It is commanded, and it helps us draw closer to God. So in conclusion, as we go through this dark time in some way, this dark and dreary time, it's cold, it's rainy, it snows, it's windy, there's no sunlight. The weatherman says you can't go outside, it's the dark time. These are all physical things, but it does not have to be a dark time spiritually. We're given the gift of a weekly holy day, the commanded Sabbath rest. Let's take this opportunity to strengthen our relationship with God, build relationships with our church family, and start some perhaps new Sabbath traditions. Make it an enjoyable day that you look forward to and prepare for all week long, regardless if it's a dark time or not. By doing this, there really is no dark time right now. It's just more Sabbaths to partake in and enjoy. God leaves it up to us how we will make the Sabbath special and keep it holy. So let's have the next 21 Sabbaths light our way and guide us to a wonderful holy day season. Happy Sabbath, everyone.